Please be seated, my friends. John writes, "These things are written that you might believe and know." Perhaps we would wish to be able to see Jesus face to face and say, "Oh, it really is you. You are indeed the Lord, the Son of God." Many who saw him face to face did not believe. But John, writing much later than the other gospel writers, said, "There is so much I could have said. There's only so much one can say." And in a sense, John's saying, "I believe that what I've written is enough, that you might know and that you might believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, not just Lord of the universe, but that he is indeed your Lord." This week and next week, we're going to round up and complete the studies we've been doing on God's big picture and the story that we've been seeing. What has God been doing? What is the kingdom like? Today we're actually looking at a prophesied kingdom, going back to that reading, a snippet of the reading we had from Hosea, where you heard judgment on Israel. God said, "You will take a prostitute for your wife as a symbol of the prostitution of Israel. Israel that has given herself to other gods." And Hosea says, "This is the word of the Lord. This is like being with a prostitute." And Hosea, you will live this out. It's a bit confronting. I've always find Hosea very confronting. I find that confronting. And that then Hosea has these children, a son and a daughter and a son, who are named to symbolize what God is doing. That God is saying, "You're not my people. You don't belong to me, and you don't carry my name." But then we move to the next part of Hosea, where God says, "But if you confess your sins, I will forgive you and I will restore you." So we're going into a time to look at some of the prophets quite quickly. And then we're going to move to remind ourselves of what we learned last week, of course, and we've been celebrating that there is hope, this message of hope of restoration, and that the ultimate restoration is in the Lord Jesus. So, if I turned off. Last time we were looking at God's people, the Israelites. They had been standing looking at the land of Canaan, and they even made the move to move into Canaan and for that to be God's place. And they were to live under God's law, under a king. And just prior to that, we had seen them standing with Moses on Mount Nebo looking. And Moses climbed Mount Nebo and the Lord showed him the whole of this land, the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, all of that land, and said, "I'm giving this. This is what I promised on oath to Abraham. I'll give it to your descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Moses, you're not going." Now, very recently, Greg went and stood on that same Mount Nebo. So let's go back there. Let's rewind. And we're on Mount Nebo, but with Greg, not with Moses. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, I would just like to say, on our recent trip, we actually went to Jordan and had the opportunity to do two things. The first one, and I think one of the things for 50 years, I've been hearing all the readings, and I've kept hearing the readings about Jesus being baptised by John the Baptist and also Moses looking over the Promised Land. And I was fortunate enough, and Bev couldn't make it all the way because of her back, but certainly she's loving the pictures. So I'd just like to share with you some of the photos. First one, this is the actual baptism site. The building at the back was the main area, but the one in the front next to the pool, you can see it, is actually fed by a spring. Rather, it's in the Jordan Valley, but it's actually fed by a spring. And the little building there was actually covered, and that's where Jesus changed before he actually went down and was baptised. From there, the same day, we went up to this is Mount Nebo. Now, this is actually this sculpture is actually a replica of the brazen spirit, which was talked about in the Bible. So that was that. So standing there, on where that person standing wasn't me; I was standing back, but looking over. So. And that's the promised land. Now, you've got to remember, I'll let you just have a look at that for a couple of seconds, but if you look in closely, there is actually a town about 16 kilometres further in, and the Mediterranean is about 100 kilometres. So that's how wide the country is. It's quite long, but it's not very big. Okay, this is just shows you some of the points. So you can see it talks about the Dead Sea, Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is only 60 kilometres away. So, as Mary said, Moses didn't actually ever leave Mount Nebo. He actually stayed on Mount Nebo and died on Mount Nebo. They don't know where he's was actually buried, but that's the memorial to Moses saying that he died on Mount Nebo. Okay, thank you very much.
So Mount Nebo, they've gone from the desert, received the law, they've gone into the promised land, they have a king, they're settled, and yet God's people immediately forgot God. They began sinning. They are so conflicted within the kings. King Solomon was declared by God. We were told the Lord was angry with Solomon. This is in 1 Kings. Because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this matter that he should not follow other gods. And he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. Well, like father, like son, King Rehoboam continued to be one who disobeyed God, took other gods, the Baals that we heard talked about in the Hosea reading. And so God continued to talk to his people. There were kings and there were prophets bringing the word of God. The prophets were to bring the word of God to the king, to be God's spokesperson, and also to remind God's people about the covenant that God had made with them. A covenant that actually has two sections. A covenant that is about the conditional. In order for you to prosper in this land, follow the words that God teaches. It's about being God's people in God's place, living according to God's rules for good living. But that does not mean that there's any end to that unconditional covenant with Abraham. I will be your God. You will be my people in my place. So under the prophets, we have this reminder, you are to live according to God's rule, and yet God is a ever faithful God whose love is steadfast and he's committed to you. So anytime we're talking about judgment, judgment is in order to bring people into God's care again. And so we have these whole cycles of prophets speaking, people turning back to God, people disobeying God. It's the same as it was under the judges. They are human like us, they were, and we are human like they were. That we move away from God, God calls us back, we call out to God in distress, He says, I love you. Remember, you're my people. However, during this time, the kingdom split. And under Rehoboam, the northern kingdom, which became the land of Samaria, that you remember that there's a lot of division between the Samaritans and the Jews by the time of Jesus. Under Rehoboam, the northern kingdom, and Rehoboam took with him 10 tribes of Israel, became, it was known as Israel, the northern kingdom. It was overrun by Assyria, completely devastated, completely ruined. The southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes, continued until God sent the Babylonians to overcome them. And so we have the northern kingdom, Israel, was there, and it had the prophets Amos and Hosea in the 8th century, the ones that you read about, then we read Hosea this morning. And during that same time, Isaiah and Micah and Jeremiah were speaking to the southern kingdom. Then people went into exile. Assyria destroyed the north. It no longer existed. It became Samaria. It was completely flattened and taken over by Assyria. The southern kingdom was invaded by Babylon, and people were taken away in two streams. There was a time in five, completely escaped me, the exact moment, but that God first took the first lot of people went, and then Babylon came back and completely destroyed Jerusalem, completely destroyed the temple, and took the second lot of people. But God was with his people, and Ezekiel and Daniel in the land of Babylon continued to talk to the people about God. You remember that Daniel was put in the lion's den? It's that Daniel, the one who stood up and said, no, I'm not worshipping your king. I'm worshipping the one true God. Well, we'll throw you to the lions. Daniel and his friends stayed true to the one true God. And Ezekiel was the one to say, God has a plan for those who have been faithful, and preach to the remnant that was left of true believers. So out of all of those that were taken who had turned against God, there was a remaining group who truly believed in the one true God, who sat down and wept by the waters of Babylon, as they remembered Zion, as they remembered Jerusalem, as they remembered the temple, as they remembered their God, and said, God's abandoned us. We don't have a land anymore. So how can we have a God? In those days, there was a belief that God had boundaries. You had your own God. If you live here, this is your God. And if you live here, this is your God. And the Jews had got that confused and thought, well, our God's got a boundary. He's back in Jerusalem. And they've destroyed everything that was a symbol of God with us. So God has abandoned us. His glory has gone. Ezekiel saw God's glory leave the temple as it was destroyed. So where is God now? And Ezekiel, in that land, brings not only the judgment, yes, God has done this because we disobeyed him, but the message of hope. Jeremiah begins this message of hope. God still has a plan for us to be his people. God still has a plan for us to have a place. God still has a plan for us to live under his covenant. And Ezekiel has the very famous picture where he looks out on a valley of dry bones, and God gives him a vision of the dry bones being reconnected receiving flesh, and then the Spirit of God breathing on this mass of reconstructed bones and flesh and bringing it to life. And Ezekiel shares this very strange and perhaps alarming vision of God bringing life even to what appears dead and done with. I mean, you don't get much deader than dismembered dry bones in a valley, do you? So when the people of Israel, living in Babylon, being commanded by Jeremiah, live in hope, God says, marry. God says, work the land. God says, be my people in this place. And they say, Lord, can we? Really? And be a blessing to this place. So indeed, that's what Daniel did in the palace. He blessed that kingdom and worked for the welfare of that kingdom. So that we read of the king of Babylon, Cyrus, speaking to Nehemiah and saying, Nehemiah was faithfully serving in the court of the king. Nehemiah, tell me about your people. Nehemiah says, my people, they are broken-hearted. Our whole land is destroyed. There is nothing for us. We are exiles in a foreign land. They remembered Egypt a long time before this, 1,000 years, and says, what about now? And Cyrus says, why don't you go back and rebuild Jerusalem? Rebuild the temple. Make a place for your people to be again. A foreign king who sends Nehemiah back to rebuild the kingdom, to rebuild the temple. And that's a whole lot of more reading for you to do in the book of Nehemiah. But they do return and they wait for God to establish a new king and a new place for them to be. Who will be our leader now? And in Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, we read this. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure unto the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? Malachi says, you are back in the land and you're to look forward to God being at work again. Well, there's 400 years of waiting until, as we turn over to the present kingdom, we come to meet Jesus. Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus, who was promised in the Old Testament and who comes to fulfill all that God has promised. What do we say as the beginning of the piece in the Australian Prayer Book? We are the body of Christ. So Jesus is God's people who builds around him this body of Christ. He fulfills the promise of God having a people who are founded in the risen Christ. We read in John's Gospel that God said, I'm coming to live amongst you, to tabernacle with you, is the word that's used. Where was the last tabernacle? In the temple. But now Christ is the new temple. In fact, that second temple that was built was destroyed 70 years after Jesus' birth in another war in Jerusalem. But we don't need the physical temple and the physical tabernacle for worship anymore or to know who God is, because Jesus is the true tabernacle living among us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the true temple where God is worshipped. And Jesus is the true king. We know that he is a son of David from the genealogy that you read at the beginning of Matthew and Luke. We know that he is a true king and son of God as we see the life he lived and his conquest over Satan on the cross. And then as he comes and breathes his Holy Spirit into us, he is God's rule and he is God's blessing. And so it's in Christ that all of God's promises are saying, yes, these are for you. Yes, you are. This is for the world. This is how God is fulfilling the covenant he made with Adam and with Noah and with Abraham and with Moses and with David. And it's through the cross, as we looked at last week, the climax of God's plan and God's dream comes to be in this crazy place of the cross. You see, God must show judgment to sin. God and sin cannot live together. God said to Israel, you can't have two gods. You can't have me and one of many. You need to follow me, or you can decide not to follow me. But that God needs to deal with sin. And so God has anger over sin and a perfect relationship with the Lord Jesus. But on the cross, they are swapped around. In the Alpha Course, Nicky Gumbel picks up his Bible and he says, so here we are. We are God's people, but we are separated from God by our sin. We can't have a true relationship with God. But on the cross, Jesus came and took the sin away so that we now have a perfect and direct relationship with the Lord Jesus. We are back in the relationship God intends. And this is our present situation. It's still not completely fulfilled. And next week we'll look at the fulfillment of that as we head to the end of the Bible, to Revelation. That there is more. That sin, while being dealt with on the cross, sin no longer has any authority. Sin no longer can bind us. We are set free because of the cross. And yet, we battle with it all day, every day. We say, Lord, come quickly. There are things to be fixed up in the world. So, Lord, really? Is this perfect? There is more perfection to come. But in this present kingdom, The true Israel is to be found in Jesus Christ. The true place to be is in Jesus Christ. And the true rule and blessing comes through the Lord Jesus Christ as he pours his Holy Spirit into our lives. So that the only answer to the chaos of the world is in Jesus Christ. We will hold that hope. We will want to look a little bit more, so what does that look like? And unpack that more next week as we bring this to a close, to know that God has us in his hands and that God's covenant will not be broken. That it's true for us and for the cosmos. This is a cosmic truth. Hold on for next week. Amen.